It's just amazing that the grace of God, you know, is so strong upon us at times, even when we may be physically ill, but the grace of God is just like it takes us to another place. It lifts us up. I've had to preach on numerous occasions when I wasn't feeling good physically. I think I missed, one meeting out of over 20 years of ministry for being so sick I couldn't get up and do it. And I found there's times when I was pretty much dragging in, but as soon as I got up there and the anointing was there, I felt fine. Maybe I should have preached longer, but people needed to go home. Because as soon as I stopped and I sat down, I felt rotten again. But see, the grace of God was upon us for his assignment. So it's not like he doesn't know. And it's certainly not as though he doesn't have the power to say, out of here, you're gone, it's done. But God works through all these things. His ways are really beyond our natural understanding. However, there are many testimonies in here. Many. Even in your own life, if you just look back a little bit, you can say how many times the Lord has brought you through. And each time you have been developed and honed and made even more beautiful internally for eternity. See, God is more concerned about our character and that inward man, you know, than our external difficulties. Sometimes he allows it. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe the Lord at any time, and it's not like the devil just said, oops, I slipped this one by you. It doesn't work that way. Now, I ran into somebody recently who was very angry at and bitter at God because why does God allow this and allow that? Has anybody ever thought that before, right? Certain things that don't seem to add up, don't seem to make sense to us. But Paul addressed that kind of in a very blunt way, where he says, can that which is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me this way? Can the axe say to the one, you know, when it's yielding it? So it's not for us to know all the mysteries. There are mysteries. If you think about it, how much are we able to comprehend in a lifetime anyways? I mean, compared to everything, all the knowledge that is available, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. So how can we think that we're just going to have it all figured out? And if we don't have it all figured out, then somehow God is at fault. It's just that we're not able to comprehend the greatness of his understanding except that which he would allow us to understand. We can't even know him except that he reveals himself. We can't even understand his word unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Amen? Amen. So we need to come to the place of rest where you're just going to rest in God and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about my life because it belongs to him. If in this life we only have hope in this life, then it's devastating when things happen or things go wrong because you're just thinking about the temporary. But we're not realizing that what God has promised us is beyond what we can fathom. It has not even entered into the heart. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. Ear hath not heard, eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things, except what God will reveal by his Spirit. And sometimes God gives us glimpses into eternity. Amen? Sometimes he'll open up the eyes of your heart to show you something. Sometimes you just need that little encouragement along the way. And so God will do something. I've also found that the Lord prepares us ahead of time. He packs our lunch before you face something. You start getting really blessed sometimes. And things are really going well. And maybe you're just on a spiritual mountaintop. Well, sometimes that's because you're going to need that before you hit the valley. Sometimes he wants to make sure your lunchbox is packed before you hit the wilderness. So we see the seasons in nature. We see the seasons in life. We see that before the day was what? The dawn. There was the evening and the morning were the first day, right? So in life, there are evenings and there are mornings. So in nature, there are seasons. There's, you know, summer. We all like summer, don't we? Sometimes things can get pretty dry in summer, though. And then we need the latter rain. We need the rain to come later in the year, right? There's times of refreshing in your life. There's times where God just knows what you have need of. But the ultimate purpose of God is that we would bear fruit and that our fruit would remain. Amen? We would bear the fruits of Christ and the world will see the reality of the kingdom through us. And we'll be made glorious in His sight. We'll be made beautiful for Him. And the day we see Him, even though our body is perishing, we're being renewed day by day. And so then comes winter, and sometimes winter is difficult because it doesn't seem like anything's happening in your life during a season of winter. Everything seems to be frozen and lifeless. But underneath the snow is the life. Amen? The seeds are there. They're just buried for a season. But God is faithful. He's a faithful gardener and He knows what we have need of. And then comes the thaw. Things are starting to warm up. Things are starting to bright up. Things are starting to look up. And sometimes when things are starting to look up and brighten up, well, there comes an unexpected freeze right after that too. But be of good cheer because the spring still is going to be coming. It always comes. Amen? Springtime and harvest. And so everything blooms, everything is beautiful in the spring. Most people love spring. I mean, that's one of my favorite, you know, time seasons. But the cool thing is this, is if we can appreciate every season in our life, understanding that it's all part of the program, all part of the process to get us to our destiny. How many enjoy snow sports, right? Well, I used to. I ain't going to get on no skis now. But, you know, some people say, hey, we're not going to let the snow. We're going to enjoy it. Others may just sit around and grumble and complain about it. And it always gets worse when you complain about stuff, you know. It just seems to make it even more, you know, unwelcome. But can you rejoice in every season? Knowing that God is with you, God is for you, God has begun a work, God is faithful. Through it all, you're learning that God is going to be trustworthy to the end. So, right now, you're going through some seasons, we're all in different seasons. And it's usually easy for us when we're in the good season and the refreshing season and life is good and everything's going my way, you know. And then over here, your brother and sister, they're going through it. And they may be going through a long season. We got to be careful that we don't start judging them. Because they happen to be going through it right now. What we need to do is we need to refresh one another. Reach out, encourage, hold their hand, pray for them, help them through. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What he means by that is there's going to come a time when you will need mercy too. Amen? So show mercy. Be gracious. And be patient with one another. Hallelujah. Sunday talked about humility. How many know what humility is? There's several different interpretations of that word, but what is humility? Strength under control, yeah. It's to be humble, sure. Humility. What is humility? The opposite of pride. Thinking soberly, a sober assessment of oneself. Again, how about humility as agreeing with what is true? Truth is what is real, really real. So if it's real about you, it's true. And if you live within the understanding of what is true about you, you will make progress in your walk. If we get out of step with God and we begin to exalt ourselves above what we're really called to, then that's called arrogance. That's pride, right? Sometimes we feel like I want what they have or I should have what they have. And how come they got three pieces of chocolate and I only got one? I'm talking about spiritually, you know? Sometimes people they want to be somebody else. They don't want to be who they are. They're not content in where they're at in life. But yet it's through contentment and appreciating where you are and what God has already done. And he's entrusted some riches to you, some type of spiritual gift to you. Thank God that he's given that. Even if it's one talent, one gift, thank God for that money. Amen. That he's invested in you. Spiritual money. Because with humility and faithfulness is the way up. Now, on the other side of that, you know, you have people that live below their potential. They live below who they are. That's not good either. We need to know what is true about us. That's the sandwich, right? Arrogance and living below, but they meet in truth. Truth is what's real. I want to walk out the purpose of God in my life based upon the grace that I have received. Not to think more highly of myself than I ought to. That was Romans 12:3. For I say, Paul said, through the grace given to me, acknowledge it wasn't what he gave himself, it was given to him by God, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. That's not the way the world thinks, though. Some people are going to receive their reward now because they exalt themselves. And even though they may get recognition by man for a season, that is going to be the extent of their reward. The Pharisees were exalting themselves. They wanted to be greeted in the marketplace. They wanted to be called. They wanted the titles of being called rabbi, rabbi, teacher, teacher. And they wanted the chief seat in the synagogue. They wanted to be recognized. I'm sitting in Moses' seat. You know, I'm up here with the big wigs, the CEOs of the church. And they thought that that somehow would fulfill them. And, you know, sometimes it's necessary. It was a bad thing or a bad place they were at. It's the motivation of the heart and why they wanted to be where they were. It wasn't for the glory of God. It was for the praises of men. They wanted to wave a flag and say, look at me. I'm standing up and I'm praying in the synagogue. It was arrogance. It wasn't about God, it was about them, you see. And the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus said, is going to be the one who's serving. He said, who's greater, he who sits at the table or the one who serves? And they said, well, the one who sits at the table. He says, but I am among you as one who is serving. So we need to follow the example of Jesus. If you want to be great, serve. Take the lowest seat. Wait on God. In God's time, if you are faithful through faithfulness, God will move you up. But if you move yourself up, you might be embarrassed like the man who had to go sit down because someone greater than him came in and he took his spot. We wait to be called up by the host. We wait on God for our calling, for our ministry. And we will be developed properly for our ministry as we serve, as we're willing to take the less glorious approach often, maybe the less visible approach, that where maybe others may not even see what you're doing, but God who sees in secret will reward you. Do we believe what God says? See, what happens is sometimes we start to think like the world. Well, who's the greatest? Well, the one with the most toys. There was a bumper sticker, you probably saw it. You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's foolishness. Because there's no U-Hauls going to heaven. You've heard that. All right. So, two things. Primarily, one is humility. All right. To humble oneself. It's easier to humble yourself than it is to be humbled. Just humble yourself, wait on God, Do whatever he's given you to do, whatever's in your hand, whether great or small, just be faithful. So humility. And the second key to going up is faithfulness. Amen? Faithful and little. Now, faithfulness brings a greater responsibility. Matthew 25:14, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country." Matthew 25:14. "Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." So he didn't give them more than what they were capable of handling. This is very important. God knows what we're able to handle, and he'll only give us what we're able to be to handle. He knows the right measure for us. So he won't give you more than what's good for you. And he won't give you less. He'll give you just what's right for you. And immediately, the man went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents, verse 16, went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He also who had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." Now, do you understand that when God gives something to us, he doesn't put it in your hands so then you'll ask God, "God, do this, God, do that." He put it in your hands so that you will do something with what he's given you. You see, God has given gifts to people, but sometimes we'll just sit around and ask God to do something for us that he's already told us to do. This is a time to pray and there's a time to move. We pray and we ask and God gives us, and what do we do with what he gives us? You're not going to get more unless you're being faithful to what he has given you. We don't want to go through the process, you know. We want to go from 0 to 50 without going through the process. We want to get the home plate without going through first, second, and third. But he also who had received, let's see. And he said in verse 25, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." So he even acknowledged, see, that he knew that what he had belonged to the master. This is something that, folks, I'm really trying to get a hold of myself and everything that I do, everything in life, that I need to understand that whatever I receive is on loan. It all belongs to him. Your children belong to him. Your life belongs to him. Your possessions belong to him. Everything belongs to him. Everything. And what did he say to him in verse 26? "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So faithfulness brings greater responsibility. In other words, if you are faithful, it can increase your responsibility because God will entrust to you more. But each time you receive more, it just means you have a greater responsibility. And you've received a stewardship to be a good steward over God's possession. And verse 29, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance." What does he mean by that? Those who are faithful with what God has entrusted him will receive more. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So we're talking about whether or not a person is being faithful with what's been entrusted to them. The way up is through humility and faithfulness. And then he says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be punishment for those who knew their master's will and did nothing. Faithfulness in small things will bring increased opportunities. Now, we want opportunities. Would you agree? We want opportunities. Now, as I mentioned Sunday morning, you remember David was very faithful to just take care of the sheep. You know, he was not the little, he was little brother that was just out taking care of the sheep. He was not in the spotlight. He wasn't the tallest. You know, he wasn't the most likely in the eyes of the world to be the one who would be heir to the throne. But yet God chose a shepherd boy who was out taking care of sheep and being faithful in his little assignment in the back 40 to make him king. Joseph looked after Potiphar's house. And eventually even the prison house. Probably not his first choice. But even when he was in prison, God exalted him there and used him in that place. Before he was exalted, he used Joseph in these ways to rule in the palace. In other words, he had to first be found faithful in the little things that he was given. But you see in these examples too that even with the stewardship and with the entrustment came also persecution. Because the word will bring persecution. There will be people who will oppose you in your walk. As you seek to reach your destiny in Christ, there will be opposition. The enemy wants to steal from you. He does not want you to overcome. So he's going to raise up people to oppose you. He's going to create situations at times to oppose you. But if you are faithful, you will see that the Lord, in the end, will make things better than at the beginning, every time. Every time. It will be better in the end than it was at the beginning. And even though there may be persecution or difficulty for a season, at the end of that test will be a promotion. Depending on how we handle it. Whether we believe and don't curse God and don't blame God and don't get mad at God. Even though you might get mad for a season, it's time to stop. Stop, you know, looking at your situation and blaming God. Look to the one who loves you. Look at the heart of the one who loves you, who redeemed you, who bought you with his own blood. He loved you so much. He shed blood for us. That's how much God loves us. That's why we need to remember him in communion. That's why we need to remember the cross. It was the love of God demonstrated for us. He loves you that much. So don't look at your circumstance and grumble about it. Remember what Jesus did at the cross so you remember that God is loving you through everything. He's not going to stop loving you. We may feel that God doesn't love me because I'm going through a hard time right now. You may feel that God has forsaken you because you're going through a hard time right now. But that's not the reality. Do you know that unbelief is an illegal thought to a believer? Do you know doubt is illegal for you? We are not to entertain doubt. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If it comes in, it's illegal. It's like, wait a minute, that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. It's exalting itself against what God has said, that God's going to take care of me. Doubt that he is still with you. Because you're going through a really hard time right now, and you're not feeling his presence, and then the enemy comes and says, it's because God has left you. He's forsaken you. That's where the test comes in. That's where you say, the answer is, check, he will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. What happens when you're tested? A, doubt God B, complain. C, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Daniel was faithful to God in personal holiness and devotion, and it was persecuted for it. He did the right thing. He told him, you can't pray. He said, there's a higher law than that law. I'm going to pray. And he went into his window and prayed 3 times a day. You remember? But Daniel was going to be faithful to God no matter what. He was not going to allow man to tell him to disobey his God. And so the time came when Daniel also became one of the top leaders in the land. He was exalted, but he had to go through a process to get to where he was going. So in the process, it gets very difficult, and sometimes it's hard to believe that anything good can come out of this. And yet over and over, we see examples throughout the scripture and even in our own lives of times where we've gone through that. Now you can look back and say, you know, the Lord was with me, wasn't he? Even though it seemed at times he wasn't. I'm no different than anybody else. I get tested in these times when I wonder and I say, wait a minute, that's an illegal thought. I'm not even supposed to be thinking that, entertaining that. That doesn't come from God. The voice of truth tells me a different story. Yes. I'm going to listen to him. And when I put faith in God's word, it comforts me. His spirit comforts me. You can even have joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The disciples, remember, were persecuted, even flogged for their testimony of Jesus. And what do? They walked away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for Jesus. How many know that was supernatural? That's the joy of the Lord. That strengthened them so they could go on. They didn't throw in the towel and say, well, I ain't going to let that happen again. Now, when Paul was given instruction to Timothy about qualifications for leaders, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Wayne had quoted this Sunday night, he says, you therefore, in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, don't try to do it on your own, in your own strength, in your own wisdom. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then right after that, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, you've been entrusted with a ministry. And what you need to do is you need to look out among you for those who are faithful men. Faithful in all their house. And then he goes on and he says, but you're going to have to endure hardship. Do you know the Bible says that if we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he cannot deny himself. If you are, and I are persecuted because we are followers of Jesus, that should not be an awful thing. We should say, praise God. In fact, Jesus said to leap for joy in that day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't do that naturally. You've got to be strong in the grace of the Lord in order to do that. You need to know how to get a hold of God. You need to know how to abide in Him. You need to be people that pray, right? So he said, choose faithful men, not just when it is easy. And not just fair weather faithfulness. That's kind of like, I was thinking of fair weather friends, you know. But how about fair weather faithfulness? That's kind of a cool way to put it. Fair weather faithfulness. I'll be faithful to God as long as it's sunny. As long as things are going my way, I will trust. I will come in. I will raise my hands. I'll be the most charismatic person in church because everything's going my way. But can we rejoice in God? Can we bring in a sacrifice of praise into the house when you're going through it? and you decide, I'm not going to allow my circumstances to dictate my internal condition. Instead, I'm going to shift my internal condition and my circumstances, and I'm going to bring heaven into it by praising my God. Isn't it amazing how we can just get into prayer and go after God and pour out your heart to God, and there's a supernatural peace that will come, and you get up and say, man, that problem that seemed like it was this big, it just seems like nothing now. All you needed was the comfort and the grace of the Lord to sustain you. And your problems, see, are good because they will cause us to call on Him, draw near to Him. So we can receive the grace and we can be rich in God, rich in faith, rich in grace, and bear much fruit. Now, He said you've got to find faithful people. What does that look like? How about number one, faithfulness to your God, right? Would you agree that's probably the most important part of our relationship, right? Is our relationship with Him? How about faithful in your giving? Faithful in your marriage? How about faithful in managing your family, guys and ladies, right? Being good stewards in your own home, making sure your children are in subjection to you. They are to respect your authority. We cannot be a steward over God's house if we can't take care of the affairs in our own home. Those are qualifications. These need to be faithful men who had their family. Amen. It was together, at least to some degree. I thank God for my family, for my wife, and for our daughter, that the Lord's been so gracious and so good and so faithful. Considering the situation that we used to be in when we were new in our marriage, and to look back and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. It's truly amazing. Faithful to your employers. God's looking for faithfulness in us, folks. Faithfulness. It's the way up. Faithful to your coworkers. How about that one? Not out there, you know, backbiting, gossiping, slandering fellow employees, putting them down to pull yourself up. What if you're a supervisor? You got to be also faithful to your employees, to those in your charge. It doesn't just work one way. How many know that we're supposed to respect all men? Because everyone was made in the image of God. Whether you like him or not, it still doesn't give you the right to disrespect people, even if they disrespect you. If you want to be like your Father in heaven and you want to be his children, then you respect those who even disrespect you. Well, sometimes that's not easy, but it's possible by the grace of God. How about being faithful to the laws of the land? Faithful to your country? How about a law-abiding citizen? Don't you think God wants his people to be faithful to our country, to our nation, even to our government? Does God want his people to pay their taxes? Absolutely. Why? Because it's the law of the land, and it does not contradict the word of God. There's a lot of Christians that don't pay their taxes, you know, they cheat on their taxes. Well, you know what? If you want God to entrust you with greater riches, start being faithful in what he's entrusted to you. If you can't be trusted with man, then don't expect that God's going to trust you with greater riches. And that's talking about the things of the kingdom. Faithful to your church. Faithful to your church family. That doesn't mean just going to church. However, that's important. I mean, you know, it's important that, you know, we're faithful in church attendance as much as we can. But ultimately, we need to be faithful to each other. We're here. We're supposed to be here for each other. I mean, you know, I feel I come because of you. I'm coming for you, not for me. If everybody comes with a servant's attitude, we come to serve and not be served, then there's going to be harmony among us. If everyone has a sober assessment and a truthful understanding of who you are and your place in God's program, amen, in God's body, then there's going to be harmony. When we do music up here, everybody needs to know their part. You know, we have Bruce, he plays a lot of the lead guitar. You know, I do a lot of the lead singing and some of the rhythm. And Dave will do some backup, right? And he'll play some percussion instruments. And then we have, everybody has their place so that we can have harmony. And when there's unity, the blessing of God is there. But if we try to compete among ourselves up here, very quickly things will spin out. Are you with me? If we get into competitive mode among ourselves in the body, it will produce division. Why? Because usually behind competitiveness is pride, it's ego, it's having to be first. It's having to be on the top. I can outdo you. What we want to do is we want to live such an example, though, among ourselves, and that people will look at your life and say, now that's a model Christian. That's someone who really follows Jesus. And I want to be like them as they follow Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about the super apostles, the ones who are all about the show and being recognized, the Pharisaical attitude of look at me, so that you will esteem me and I will rule over you. See, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says that kind of mentality is going to get brought down. He said, but the one who serves, the one who humbles himself, the one who esteems others better than themselves, those are the people that are going to be brought up. Is it okay? Can we celebrate one another? Can we celebrate the gifts of others and say, wow, I just celebrate who you are and the gentle spirit and the faithfulness that you demonstrate. You know? Just how many know that that's how harmony comes in, right? When we recognize each other's value. Amen. And if we're all living, not for ourselves, but we're living for Him. When we're living for Him, that means we're going to be living for others. Because that's how He lives. He gave Himself for us. He demonstrated what it is to walk, amen, with God the Father. We do the same as it was in Jesus. The same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you. Well, I think I'm just about done. But we're talking about faithfulness. Being consistent. Faithful in all of your house. Jesus said, for everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance, verse 29. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If you and I want to be something, you're going to have to go through something. So it's not a bad thing that's happening right now to you. It's really not a bad thing. It's going to be a good thing in the end. How many know that overcomers have to have something to overcome? You can't be an overcomer and not have something to overcome. How many know that in order to pass the test, you have to first take the test? God's not looking for superheroes. He's looking for faithful followers who will do all of His will. All right. So the way up is through humility, taking upon the form of a servant, and being faithful in our assignment. And God in His time and His season will exalt you. And the day will come when you will hear Jesus as the faithful ones here in our passage. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear, folks. I know that's what you want to hear too. And that's why we're here.